2015 marks 100 years that the Boaz mastodon skeleton has been on display at the UW-Madison. It stands 10 feet tall and is viewed by about 50,000 people each year. But there's a new twist to the story of one of the most famous fossils in Wisconsin.
The mastodon was originally thought to have been discovered by four farm boys in Boaz, Wisconsin, hence the name. The curator, though, of the UW Geology Museum did some detective work earlier this year to find out that far more of the bones actually came from another community in the Southwest called Anderson Mills.
Carrie Eaton joins us now. She's curator of the Geology Museum at UW-Madison. Carrie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So first of all, for anyone having trouble picturing, conjuring up a mastodon in their head, what is a mastodon?
The easiest thing to probably picture is a large elephant-like animal. They'd stood about 9 to 10 feet tall, and mastodons have large tusks like an elephant, but they're primitive relatives to the modern-day elephant.
And how common were they in Wisconsin back in the day?
They would have been roaming not only Wisconsin, but much of North America from about 3.75 million years ago until their extinction at the end of the Pleistocene about 11,700 years ago. There have been several mastodon finds in Wisconsin, and you find them mostly scattered across the southern half of the state.
So a very different Wisconsin and upper Midwest back then. What might the landscape have looked like?
Oh, absolutely. It's really neat to think about Wisconsin as having been almost safari-like with a number of large animals that would have roamed this area during the Ice Age. You can picture everything from near glacial environments with things like tundra and short cold weather grasses, all the way to a boreal spruce forest where you would have animals like your mastodon and your giant beaver roaming the landscape.
Wow. Okay, so what were the lives of the mastodons like? I mean, we can't possibly know everything, but they forage in these forests. What did they do?
Absolutely. Mastodons are herd animals, much like modern-day elephants. They were also predominantly browsers, so they would have been roaming the spruce forests of southern Wisconsin, using their teeth to crush up brushy plants, twigs, needles, spruce branches, those sorts of things.
And how did they go extinct?
The most common agreement among scientists is that these large mammals went extinct at the end of the Pleistocene, largely driven by changes in climate. We know that climate was changing through the Ice Age because we can actually mark the margins of the ice sheet retreating northward as that ice melted all throughout the Pleistocene. And then as we transition into the Holocene, about 11,500 years ago, we know that there was a drastic warming of the climate. These cold weather environments and these cold weather plants that these animals really came to rely on largely disappeared. And we had the introduction of large open savannas and prairie grasses and oak trees, which were a completely different type of environment for completely different type of animals.
So getting to the mastodon in question, there has been this superstar fossil at the Geology Museum, and it's been known as the Boaz mastodon, and it turns out that name might not be so accurate anymore. What have you been finding out about this?
Yeah, it's neat that this discovery came on the heels of celebrating its 100th year on display. We have two mastodons in our museum. One has been known as the Boaz mastodon and has stood on display in our museum for 100 years, and the other was effectively lost for a century, and that's the Anderson Mills mastodon. So about 2 years ago, I started some detective work to look into the history of our mastodon skeleton and its history with the university. And what I discovered was that our skeleton is actually made up of two different individuals, one from Boaz, Wisconsin, and the other from the small hamlet of Anderson Mills, which no longer really exists. It was named for John Anderson's mill, and it was about halfway in between Fenimore and Woodman.
And tell me where Boaz is exactly.
Boaz is near Richland Center in Richland County. And the farm where that mastodon was discovered was very near the town of Dayton.
Okay, so these aren't too far apart, these two sites where these bones were found.
No, not at all. And it's really neat for our museum to have a skeleton that is so closely tied to the histories of rural communities in southwest Wisconsin. I like to think of our skeleton as the very epitome of the Wisconsin idea, reaching out to the communities in Wisconsin and bringing those people to our museum to learn more.
We're talking right now with Carrie Eaton, curator of the Geology Museum at UW-Madison, and we're talking about the Boaz mastodon, which has been on display at the UW for a century as of this year. And you were saying it actually comes from two different specimens. Now, there are two different stories here about how these bones were found. So that the story in Boaz, that discovery, tell us about how that came about.
So after a series of heavy rains, four young boys were out on their family farm inspecting a floodgate, and they saw something large protruding out of the bank of a stream. This was most likely one of the large limb bones of a mastodon skeleton, and as they continued to excavate, they pulled out more bones. Now, what I think is the most charming part of the story is that they wanted to hide their discovery in their farm's milk house, but they actually showed some of the bones to a mailman, who then shared the news with everyone on his mail route, and before long, everyone had found out about the mastodon and was coming to the farm to see the bones.
All right, so the last person you want to tell is the guy who's going to stop at every house around the route. Right, so that got out, so that those were the first pieces of bone, and then you've got these Anderson Mills bones as well. So how were those bones first discovered?
Just a little more than a year later, in the summer of 1898, once again, after heavy rains, a young farmer's son was walking around on his family farm and discovered something long sticking out of the ground. And the first element discovered at that site was actually a 9-foot-long tusk of the mastodon. Assistant state geologist Ernest Buckley rushed out to the scene and actually enlisted the help of local rail workers and farmhands to help in the excavation. And they were able to excavate more than 60 individual bones from that site near Anderson Mills.
So how was it that these two mastodons got their bones sort of jumbled together and had a new mastodon created from them?
It's a good question. We don't really know. The university purchased the bones of each of those finds in 1897 and 1898, and it was petitioned to the Board of Regents in 1900 to mount a mastodon skeleton to put on display. And at that year, the Board of Regents voted that motion down. And so the bones sat in the collection storage of the geology department until 1913, when they hired a new paleontologist, M.G. Mell, who came in and saw these mastodon bones and wanted to put together a mastodon skeleton. So with the help of some of his students, who created some of the plaster replicas that you can see in our skeleton today, they were able to mount that entire skeleton, and it was completed in the fall of 1915. So what happened in between 1900 and 1930, as far as records are concerned, we can't really know whether or not they were knowingly mixing bones of two mastodons or whether those records have been lost. I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to that question.
Well, then you came along and kind of went, I wonder. So how did you ever get on the trail of this thing?
I started looking into the mastodon's history, and we, along with David Null at UW Archive, started looking into some of the university correspondence that talked about our mastodon. And we found one letter that mentioned this other mastodon find near Fenimore, and wouldn't it be great if we would go collect these bones so that we could make a complete skeleton? And I thought, wait a second, didn't we just collect a mastodon the very summer before? Didn't we already have enough bones to make a mastodon? We had known about the Anderson Mills mastodon from some historical photographs that a visitor had brought to our museum years before. And so we pulled out those photographs, and I started looking at them with great detail to see if there were things that we could notice in the photographs that were similar to bones in our mastodon skeleton on display. And before long, we started seeing bone after bone after bone that could be recognized in those historical photographs from Anderson Mills.
So is this a big deal, this find?
It's a big deal. Yeah, to be able to basically find a new old mastodon that had been lost for about 117 years is pretty neat. And to be able to welcome a new community into this story is also pretty remarkable as well. In fact, there are actually two bones of the Anderson Mills mastodon that will be on display at the Fenimore Railroad Museum. The day after Anderson Mills was excavated, a local conductor put two of the bones on display at the Fenimore Depot. Those bones were handed down through generations and generations of family, and they were donated to that historical railroad museum in 1993. So after all of this news broke, I got a phone call from the museum, and they said, hey, we have two Anderson Mills bones. Would you like to see them? And I said, absolutely. So they came here for a visit this summer, but they're going to remain on display in Fenimore so people can actually go see the bones of their mastodon.
Is this something, a find like this, these mastodon bones that were discovered in these rural properties, it's still happening today, or was this kind of even unusual for the time?
It does still happen today. In fact, there are two mastodons that were discovered just east of Madison in Jefferson, and those are pretty recent. We do often have to rely on, I call them the tools of discovery, to find these mastodon bones. They're pretty difficult to go out and actively look for. And almost always you see reports of them being found after heavy rains or when a farmer puts in some new drainage tiles or does a little digging on their property. So, you know, we rely on our communities to bring these neat finds to the university and give us the opportunity to share them with people.
And any plans for the fossil's next 100 years? Obviously, you're renaming it. It's not just the Boaz Mastodon, but what happens next?
We're actually working on a new exhibit to tell the narrative of both of these new mastodons. And then next spring, we'll also be completing a new exhibit on Ice Age megafauna, so you can come into our museum and learn about some of those other large beasts that would have roamed our neighborhoods during Wisconsin's Ice Age.
Great. Well, it's quite a story, Carrie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Carrie Eaton, curator of the Geology Museum at UW-Madison, talking about the Boaz Mastodon and Anderson Mills Mastodon, which has been on display at the UW for a century as of this year.